universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. As I considered what to say and comment in the podcast for this week, many things have swirled through my head, from countless Easter celebrations of years ago that I've been in that have done very little for me, I'll be honest with you, to some that really moved me, to looking at what the disciples saw, the evidence. And as I consider it, there's some things that are obvious and plain. We know these are actual facts. There was a man named Jesus who lived. There was a man named Jesus who was crucified and died. And it is clear evidence that 3 days after his death, meaning part of Friday, Saturday, and then part of Sunday, after those 3 days, the tomb was empty. The question is, how did it become empty? And some say grave robbers. Others would say the authorities, the Pharisees. And of course, the disciples, those early first Christians, say he rose from the dead. When we look at the other things that were mentioned, I can mention a whole bunch of things. There's no way, in whether it be in this short podcast or even a two-hour movie or a two-week episode of whatever, that I can convince anybody. It really is of how are you going to judge and evaluate and conclude based on what you have now heard. And after all, that's how it was for those early disciples as well. When Mary went to the tomb, she saw the stone rolled away and she ran away. She believed it was a grave robber. When Peter and John came rushing to the tomb, even as Mary had told them the stone is rolled away, he's not there. It says that John looked in and he believed. Peter looked in, actually walked in. Says that in John chapter 20, which is one of the recordings of the resurrection, in verses 6 and 7, that he walked in, he saw the grave clothes lying there, and the face cloth folded up apart from it. But it doesn't say he believed. So even that, it took some time for them. And that's why we have other recordings past that where Jesus then appeared to help convince people he was alive. Well, again, I'm not going to convince you, but it struck me as a person who's blind, one thing that actually hit me again after Easter, it was just last night, we went out to eat. And my two girls and my wife, we were there, and my older daughter Tori brought a friend along, Amanda, and we had a great time. I probably shouldn't tell you what place, but we had burgers, and they were all full of stuff, and kind of dripped and oozed, and I was so glad they had napkins there. And when I was done, I was wiping my fingers one at a time, and then wiped my face. And this is where people who are blind many times struggle, as you know. It's messy. Food can be messy. Did I spill anything on me? And sometimes people put the napkin and literally tuck it in their collar at their neck. And so that if it drips on anything, it drips on the napkin. Well, friends who are blind, if those who are sighted who are listening to this going, what? I spill all the time. Well, that's true. Everybody spills. Everybody makes messes. Just we who are blind think we're the only ones because people always are trying to be kind and point out, oh, you spilled something on your shirt. And the main reason they do that is just simply so that you'll do an extra good washing where the spot is so it doesn't stick in and stain the shirt. But that takes time to understand that. Well, as I was wiping the napkin, my fingers on the napkin and my mouth, and then I had it crumpled up as a paper napkin, I put it on the plate. And then I remembered back to Easter Day. because it mentions in that gospel reading that it says the napkin or the face cloth, depending on which translation you're looking at, was folded up and set to the side. This is huge and significant if one wants to receive the evidence there. First off, you know, with the grave clothes there, that's a shocker. I mean, what robber of a grave would take the body and leave those valuable linens? Those are special linens that they wrapped the cloth. They would have done it the other way around. And the authorities, the Pharisees, why would they leave that? That would just add to this thought, oh, he is risen. But then that interesting thing, the face cloth was folded up, not just set aside or crumpled up. Well, I remember hearing once, and it's true still today, in places of great wealth where you have servants and butlers and things, especially back in Jesus' day where there was a master and a servant, the servant would set the table for his master and all the silverware and the plate and the glass and then a napkin on the plate folded up neatly, and then the master would come and sit down. The servant would stand off kind of in the shadows, you'd say, or in a corner, so that the master could eat. And when the master was done, he'd wipe his face, wipe his hands, just like I had done last night at this eating establishment, and then, you know, put the napkin on the table, all crumpled up. But here's the thing. If, however, the master back then would fold it and set it beside the plate, the servant knew the master wasn't done. He hadn't crumpled it up. He hadn't wiped his face. He hadn't wiped his fingers. It's folded. He's coming back. Well, last night as we were eating and finishing up, and I was wiping finger after finger and then wiped my face, and yes, I do have a bit of a beard, and I wiped my beard as it kind of holds some of that oozing and dripping and wonderful tasty stuff from the hamburger. I crumpled up the napkin and put it on my plate and thought, yeah, Jesus, when he rose, he folded up the napkin. And that was his way of saying, he's coming back. He's going to come back for me. He wasn't finished with death, crumpled it up and tossed it aside. He was going to come back. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for anyone who believes that he is risen. He's not going to leave us in death. Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to stay there because he's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's have a prayer together. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming back. Come back quickly. We thank you that you left those burial clothes in the grave, but that you folded up the face cloth, the napkin, and set it aside so that we knew you were coming back. Thanks that you didn't take the grave clothes with you, like Lazarus, who you raised from the dead, stumbling out of the grave, still wrapped up and entangled in death. No, you left death, and you left it vanquished and empty. Thank you for coming back for me, coming back for my friends. Lord, give us strength, especially so that this may change us, may help us to be bold in speaking about you to others. This Jesus we ask in your name. Amen. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.Andrus@not-alone.net.